Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 4, entitled The Appearance of Sri Narada. What text is on the board? 20. Text 20. Rigya Ju Samatha Vakya Vedas Chatvara Udrita Itihasa Puranam Cha Panchamo Veda Uchete. Word for word, please repeat. Rigyaju Samatava Akya. The names of the four Vedas. Vedaha, the Vedas. Chatvara, four. Udhritaha, made into separate parts. Itihasa, historical records. Mahabharata. Puranam cha, and the Puranas. Panchama, the fifth. Veda, the original source of knowledge. Uchate, is said to be. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So there's no purport to 20. There's a short one to 21. I read through to 23 then. Okay, translation. The four divisions of the original sources of knowledge, the Vedas, were made separately. But the historical facts and authentic stories mentioned in the Puranas are called the fifth Veda. Text 21. Tatra Veda Dara Poila Samago Jaimini Kavi Vaisampayana Evaiko Nishnato Yajusham Utam. After the Vedas were divided into four divisions, Pila Rishi became the professor of the Rig Veda, Jaimini the professor of the Sama Veda, and Vaishampayan alone became glorified by the Yajur Veda. Purport. The different Vedas were entrusted to different learned scholars for development in various ways. Text 22. Atarvangira Samasid Saman Sumantur Daruno Muni Itihasa Purananam Pitamero Maharshana. The Sumantu Muni, Angira, who was very devotedly engaged, was entrusted with the Atharva Veda, and my father Ramaharshana was entrusted with the Puranas and historical records. Purport. In the Shruti Mantras also, it is stated that Angira Muni, who strictly followed the Rig principles of the Atharva Veda, was the leader of the followers of the Atharva Veda. Text 23. Ta etta rishayo vedam svam svam vyayan anekata shishyoi prashishyoi tachishyoi vedas te sakino bhavan. All these learned scholars in their turn rendered their trusted Veda. All these learned scholars, in their turn, rendered their entrusted Vedas unto the many disciples, grand disciples and great grand disciples, and thus the respective branches of the followers of the Vedas came into being. Purport. The original source of knowledge is the Vedas. There are no branches of knowledge, either mundane or transcendental, which do not belong to the original text of the Vedas. They have simply been developed into different branches. They were originally rendered by great respectable and learned professors. In other words, the Vedic knowledge, broken into different branches by different disciplic successions, has been distributed all over the world. No one, therefore, can claim independent knowledge beyond the Vedas. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Ajnatamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Prativatalam Pangun Legay Tigrim Yakripatamaham Bande Shri Gurin Dinataranam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we're hearing here how Suta Goswami, he is explaining to the sages in Namasharanya about the disciplic succession of the Vedas, how they have been they were split up into four Vedas, into four divisions, and then each division was delegated to a particular qualified sage, who then in turn passed it on to his students. In Bhagavad Gita is stated, Evam parampara praptam imam rajasya yovidu sakla neha mahata yoga nashta parantapa, that the supreme science was passed down through the chain of disciplic succession. So similarly, these sages that the four divisions were delegated to, four divisions of the Vedas were delegated to, must have been very qualified. So they must have had qualified disciples to also have taught these branches of the Vedas too. Actually, it is essential that the disciple have qualification. You know, the teacher, the guru, must be very expert to see that the disciple has qualification, and that way the knowledge won't be distorted, and it won't be lost. Because the disciple will know the importance of the knowledge, and therefore he will have the desire to pass it on to others. The qualification of the disciple is also stated in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, text 34, right? Tadviti pranipatena pre prashnana sevaya upadekshanti teganam gyaninas tapadarshan. That the okay, so yeah, the qualification of the disciple, that he must be submissive. In other words, according to the Vedic standards, submissive means to not just hear from the guru, but actually act on what you have heard. That's the definition of submissive. To render service. You know, when Krishna sees that the disciple is sincerely rendering service to the guru, then he blesses the disciple with transcendental knowledge. So Srila Prabhupada, he was the perfect disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He imbibed the mood of his guru and developed such an intense compassion that he left his comfortable dwellings at in Vrindavan, or comfortable for a sadhu. Anyway, then took the instructions of his Guru Maharaj and came to the West to deliver the conditioned souls, the Malechas and Yavanas, from the lowest state of life. So I thought that to get a deeper appreciation of Srila Prabhupada, I could read a few interviews from this book. It's called Ask Srila Prabhupada, A Friend to All. Has anyone seen this book? Yeah. It was compiled by a disciple of Srila Prabhupada called Mula Prakriti Devadasi. And she interviewed a lot of Srila Prabhupada's contemporaries and friends and well-wishers, and it has some quite amazing stories about Srila Prabhupada in here, so we can understand Srila Prabhupada's mood and his sadhana and the way he interacted with others as well. So there's a couple of interviews I want to read. So this first one is his first interview is with Sripad Hridayananda Babaji Maharaj. Sripad Hridayananda Babaji Maharaj was born in Radha Kund and has been a pujari for 78 years. He lives next to the Radha Damodar temple. At the beginning of this interview, upon being asked if he knew Srila Prabhupada, Babaji Maharaj began to cry. "Never have I seen anyone do sadhana like he did. I have lived all my life in Braj, and I have never seen anyone like him. Prabhupada did many arduous things. He worked very hard there at the Radha Damodar temple. At that time it was austere, undeveloped and very muddy and dirty with no facilities. Weeping, Babaji Maharaj quoted a shloka from Chaitanya Charitamrita from Sanatan Goswami about the importance of sadhana. Then, quoting Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy, he said, "Without sadhana, one can never attain Krishna praying. Also, Prithivite Achayata Nagaradigram. Many years later, when I heard that it was actually he who had been chosen by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to spread the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra around the world, I was not surprised." Prabhupada spread this Krishna consciousness by the mercy of Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada used to pray to Rupa Goswami, "You please give me mercy." And then he got that mercy. I know this because I saw some things he did at the Radha Damodar temple. My room is located in the same place as it was then, in 1964 or 65. Many times in the middle of the night, at midnight or 1 or 2 in the morning, I would hear a voice crying from inside the courtyard by Rupa Goswami's Samadhi Mandir. That voice was calling out and crying, but I did not know what it was, because I was trying to take rest. But one night, on a full moon, I heard that voice again. So I climbed up to the roof of the house and looked down into the Radha Damodar courtyard. I saw something very amazing. Srila Prabhupada was sweeping the courtyard of Rupa Goswami Samadhi. He was bending down with a small broom and he was sweeping the ground by the Samadhi. He was crying out, "Hey Rupa, hey Sanatan, hey Gurudev, please give me your mercy. Without your mercy I cannot do anything. Give me the mercy. Give me the strength that I may fulfill your order." Then I realized that it was he who almost every night was calling out as he was sweeping like this. Living next door to him, I would often visit as he sat on the veranda in the mornings and evenings. He was a very attractive personality, and many Vaishnavas were eager for his association. When he gave pravachan from the book of the Goswamis or Srila Bhaktivinoda or his Gurudev, many scholars and elevated saints would come to hear. I noticed that people were frequently coming for his sangha and for his counsel also. He was kind to everyone and was very popular. Sometimes if too many people had visited and he wanted his private time to chant or write in his room, then he would ask me to sit there in his place at the veranda and tell anyone inquiring that he was not available now. Because I felt great affection for him, I asked if I might do any service for him. Sometimes he let me sweep the room and the veranda, remove trash, wash clothes, or other small things. On one day I clearly remember, I was cleaning his room and I saw some cobwebs hanging from the ceiling. With the broom I swept them down, then I saw the spiders crawling on the floor. I was just noticing this when Srila Prabhupada came inside. Immediately he looked at the floor and saw the spiders, and then he looked up to the ceiling. "Why have you disturbed?" he asked. I apologized, feeling ashamed, saying that I made a mistake and that the spiders were not killed and would be all right. Then he told me that we should never cause disturbance to residents like those of the Holy Dharma. He says that we ourselves are actually newcomers and that they have been residing here for countless generations and must be respected. When he gave me this instruction, he was very grave. Since that day, I have not disrupted any spiders or any other creature anywhere in Sri Vrindavan. We often went together to the Yamuna for Sankirtan in the late afternoon. He would bring kartels for chanting. I played the mridanga. Many local devotees became accustomed to this beautiful parikram and joined him there on the banks of the river. He engaged all in singing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Panchatattva Mantra and dancing very joyfully. To fulfill Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's prophecy, Srila Prabhupada came here to Vrindavan first. The Lord has utilized such an empowered person to spread his mission. Anything like this has to be done with a heavy, strong sadhana. Krishna rewarded him because he had so much nishtha and shraddha. I have never seen such sadhana and feelings as his. If you want to take anything, the hand has to go and pick it up. So like that, you have to steal premadan, steal the wealth, one can take it. Prabhupada is right here now, but we have to find him out because Krishna has hidden him as if behind a curtain.
His Leela is still going on. He is still chanting at the Radha Damodar temple and sweeping the courtyard, doing these wonderful pastimes. Like tying up camphor in a cloth. After the camphor is gone, the smell of the cloth still remains. So Srila Prabhupada is certainly there. We have to endeavor to see Prabhupada. He has not gone anywhere. And if we feel the separation, then we can be with him. With strong endeavor, utkanta, everything will be revealed. Like a chaste wife with chastity, all these things will come. Like parents who have so much affection for their affection and put their hands on their child's head. Similarly, if we go to Srila Prabhupada, he will embrace us with so much feeling, like the Lord does. Shripad Hridayananda Babaji Maharaj Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. There's one other interview I'd like to read. Quite an amazing one. Shripad Sadhu Maharaj, Munger Mandir Vrindavan. Sadhu Maharaj has a unique background. We asked him to explain it himself as a preface to his memoirs about Srila Prabhupada. My grandfather, Raja Raghunandan Prasad Singh, was the king of Munger Bihar in the British colonial times. His spiritual master was Bhavan Das Babaji Maharaj, who was in the Nityananda Vamsa dynasty and from the Navadweep area. My grandfather was a member of parliament and often went to Delhi to attend government meetings. He had a big fort in Delhi but didn't feel comfortable there. Since he was a devotee of Lord Krishna from his childhood, he wanted to stay in Vrindavan and attend the meetings from there. So he, his wife and his son built the Munger Mandir in Vrindavan and installed Sri Sri Radha Mohan in that beautiful temple. Our ancestors were Ram Bhaktas, but my grandfather became a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although he had vast riches and a gold-plated Rolls Royce, he was never attached to his kingdom. He only spent 2 hours daily managing the state. The rest of the time he was chanting Hari Nam, performing service to the devotees and Mahaprabhu, and worshipping the deities with his own hands. When my grandfather lived in Vrindavan, he didn't use slippers, and he took madhukari from the Brajvasis. He chanted 300,000 names daily, and my grandmother Sarasvati also did the same. When they were first married, they didn't have any children, and the people of the kingdom became concerned. My grandfather's father had a spy look into his room and saw that he and his wife were in separate places, each chanting the whole night. They had been married for 5 years but had no bodily relations. His father pleaded with him to produce the next king, and finally my father, Sachinandan, was born. My father took initiation from Radha Govinda Das Maharaj, and when I was a young boy, I also accepted Harinam from this saint, and then Diksha in 1974. At this time, my Gurudev was 120 years old. My grandfather met Srila Prabhupada long ago, and they both lived in Vrindavan. I have been told I first visited Srila Prabhupada as a small baby on the lap of my mother. I remember that later, at the Radha Damodar temple, my grandfather introduced me to Srila Prabhupada, who was then dressed in white, and told me to pay dandavats to him. Every day we all went to the Radha Damodar temple, took Srila Prabhupada's darshan, and listened to him speak along with other sadhus there. My grandfather told me that they had a very affectionate relationship. In 1977, my Guru Maharaj heard that Srila Prabhupada, who had spread Krishna consciousness to the Western world, was somewhat ill and was staying in Vrindavan. My Guru Maharaj asked me, "Do you know Srila Prabhupada?" I said I had met him, but I didn't remember much. My Guru Maharaj said, "You have to go immediately and take blessings from him. He is the expansion of Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda himself is working through Srila Prabhupada. If you want the real mercy of our Nityananda, then you go to the Krishna Balaram Mandir." He told me that Srila Prabhupada and he knew each other very well, and also that my grandfather knew him and loved him. He told me how he had also known him at the Radha Damodar temple when he was writing his book and publishing his first Back to Godhead magazines. He told me how my grandfather and grandmother had been approached by Srila Prabhupada and that they had made contributions to his writing funds to help promote Mahaprabhu's mission. My Gurudev said, "He is perfect in what he is doing. He always wants to help all others in this world. He instructed me to go there and stay there until I met with him." So I waited for a long time outside Srila Prabhupada's room. He was busy with some management meeting. Only one Mataji told me that she was sorry but I could not meet with him at this time because he was very busy with the GBC. I was somewhat upset and said that I must meet him because my Gurudev had ordered me to. I must go in. I said this a bit loudly and suddenly Srila Prabhupada called out from within his room, "Ke ache okane?" in Bangla. "Who is there?" She said that someone is here to see you whose guru sent him, but he doesn't want to go without seeing you. Srila Prabhupada said, "Send him in." There were many, about 25 Western devotees sitting there. So I sat behind them. Prabhupada was talking to them and told them to go out, come to a decision and then return to him with a proposal and they would discuss it. They all went out. Then suddenly I was alone with Srila Prabhupada. I went close to him and gave Sastanga Dandavats in front of him. In my mind I was seeing Nityananda Prabhu himself. I was looking eagerly at Prabhupada. I felt very excited to now be able to see Nityananda. Finally I said to him, "I want to surrender." He asked me, "From where are you coming?" I said, "From Monger Mandir." He said, "Do you know Raghunandan Das?" When I told him that I was his grandson, he reached out and asked me to come closer to him, and he hugged me. "You are also my grandson," he told me. Then all the hairs on my body stood up. I started to sweat and tremble and cry. He continued hugging me. In my mind I wondered, how could I be his grandson? He said, "I know you are thinking, how can I be your grandson?" When I heard that, I started to cry even more. Because he knew exactly what was in my heart, I felt as if I would faint. Srila Prabhupada continued, "You don't know that I am your good friend of your grandfather's? We were sitting together and talking so many times. I know your deity is Radha Mohan. How is the Seva Puja in your temple going?" I said, "Very nicely. Many people are working there." He asked, "What are you doing?" I said, "I am the manager. Others are working there and I am doing my business." He became very angry with me and said, "Why are you doing business and your servants are taking care of the deity? I don't believe this. Your grandfather was a king and he was taking care of the deity himself. But you are such a rich person, yet you cannot do the service yourself. You should clean the temple and do the seva with your own hands." I told him, "I am the eldest son and I have full responsibility for the business of the kingdom and for my family. I have 5 children, 2 daughters and 3 sons. We have 1 temple in Vrindavan, one Mahaprabhu temple in Monger district town, and several other temples. Besides," I asked, "how is this possible for me, Maharaj?" He said, "Why not? It is possible. I know that you will do this. Actually, not only this service, but you will preach all over the world." I said, "I am not a preacher. I don't know anything." He said, "By my blessings, you will take sannyas and you will go and preach around the world." "You do this and come sometimes to meet with me." Then he asked, "Who is your guru?" I told him I took initiation from Radha Govinda Das Babaji Maharaj and that my guru had sent me for his blessings. He said, "I know him. He used to come to the Radha Damodar temple and he is also Bengali. He is very bona fide. You don't need to change your guru. What he is telling you, you follow and receive his blessings. He is Siddha Purush." Srila Prabhupada gave me this mercy and I went back to my Gurudev. I told him all that had happened. He was over 125 years old at this time, yet he leaped up in ecstasy and loudly rejoiced. "You have gotten the mercy. you will see what will happen in your life. All this will come true. You will give love of Krishna. All will like you. You will be empowered. My Gurudev was overwhelmed with joy and hugged me and blessed me. Before that, I had been a fanatic only about my own guru. But he then told me that the importance of going to the great Vaishnavas and taking blessings from them. He told me to fix my mind at my own Gurudev's feet, but to take blessings and help from all Mahajans. I went again some months later to see Srila Prabhupada when he came back from London, but he was very sick. His Western disciples told me that I could not go into the room. Standing outside, because I could not see or talk with him, I prayed that I could somehow serve and glorify him. A few days later, we heard that he had gone back to Godhead. For some years after this, I forgot his blessings. I was somewhat in material life and still managing the business of the kingdom. My Gurudev also departed in 1994. Parama Advaita Maharaj, a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, came to my temple and met him. The very first thing he said to me was the exact same thing that Srila Prabhupada had told me. He said, "Why are you not preaching? Why are you not taking care of the temple?" He reminded me, and I felt Srila Prabhupada was again personally reminding me of his blessings. Paramadvaita Maharaj said, "Why don't you take sannyas? You must become a preacher and spread Krishna consciousness all over the world." By this time I was 50 years old. I asked permission from my family and they agreed. I took sannyas from Paramadvaita Maharaj and he immediately sent me to South America. In the last 9 years I have been constantly travelling to so many foreign countries around the world. I felt that it was Srila Prabhupada himself doing all this through his own disciple. In this way, his declaration that I was his grandson. The last paragraph.
I felt it was Srila Prabhupada himself doing all of these through his own disciple. In this way, his declaration that I was his grandson proved I became his actual grandson because I took sannyas initiation from his son. Now today, that which he predicted I am doing, by his grace, travelling all over the globe and preaching with devotees everywhere. It is only by his mercy and the mercy of my Gurudev, nothing of mine. When I remember them, I am like an instrument and they are acting through me. I feel the mercy of Nityananda coming through Srila Prabhupada and engaging me in his service and his glorification.
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we all have this opportunity to receive this great mercy from Srila Prabhupada. We have as I mentioned the other day, we have Srila Prabhupada's annual book marathon starting. So this is a wonderful time of year when we can show our real gratitude to Srila Prabhupada, how much he has done for us.
Srila Prabhupada built a whole world, a house in which the whole world can live in, that we can take shelter from the burning fire of material existence. I think that everyone in this room should take a vrata, take a vow, to at least distribute one book for Srila Prabhupada this marathon. I think it's the least we can do. You know, Prabhupada was so pleased when his books were distributed. Now, if you want to get a taste for reading the books, we must serve the books. There is no better service to the books than giving the books to others. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there is no one more dear to me than he, who gives this knowledge to others. So this is this is such a wonderful service, and the most effective way to receive this mercy as Srila Prabhupada can give. I'll stop there. Is any questions or comments? It's called Srila Prabhupada, A Friend to All. It's compiled by Mula Prakriti David Dasan. I got this in England. I got this back to the Bantaman. You can probably order it through krishna.com or something. Hey Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanand.